You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, we've been discussing the condition of the corrupted heart in this fallen creation. Now, again, when we talk about the heart in the Bible, we are referring to the Hebrew understanding of the heart as the core of an individual's life. Now, we're not talking about the seat of emotions, okay? That's not the Hallmark heart that we're referring to. Rather, we're referring to the seat of the spiritual, moral, and intellectual life of an individual human being. And of course, this life is made manifest in thoughts, words, and deeds. The thoughts, words, and deeds flow from the heart. The heart directs the spiritual, moral, and intellectual well-being of the individual. Because of sin, because of the fall into sin of Adam and Eve, we are all in the state of corruption. Therefore, by nature, by conception and birth, we are conceived in a state in which we have a corrupt heart. Now, in our last lecture, we were looking at Paul's letter to the baptized in Rome, where he was specifically addressing the issue of the condition of our hearts in this fallen world. And Paul, of course, when he's talking in chapter 3, he goes on to say this at verse 19. We know now that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Now, we want to stop right there and review what we discussed before. As you recall, last time we said that to be under sin is to be guilty before God and subject to his wrath, that all humanity, by conception, by birth, we are born under sin. Therefore, we all stand condemned, guilty before God, subject to his wrath by nature. But now the law comes and the law gives the knowledge of sin. But remember, as we said before, the law will reveal sin, but it cannot remove sin. Now, Paul is making a distinction between the Gentiles on the one hand who do not have the law being God's revealed will, as it is summarized in the Ten Commandments, the written word of God handed down from the prophets for posterity's sake, so that we can be certain and sure that we are listening to God's voice and not the voice of our corrupted hearts, not listening to what our inner feelings and emotions are leading us to think, to speak, and to do, but rather the external word of God that comes to correct our hearts that are corrupted by sin. Now, the Gentiles do not have the law. They did not have the divine revelation of God's word. They did not have the prophets writing the word for posterity's sake. But Israel, the people of God, the Jews, on the other hand, did. They were entrusted with the oracles of God. They were given the law as a gift from God. Remember, the law is good. God is good. His will is good. The problem isn't the law per se. The problem is sin. Now, when the law brings the knowledge of sin, it reveals it, but it does not remove it. So Paul made that distinction between the Gentiles who did not have God's word, Gentiles who did not have God's revealed will in the written word, on the one hand, and the Jews, on the other hand, who did have the prophets, the prophetic word, the written scriptures handed down from generation to generation. But after Paul has explained all of this, he's saying that there's no difference between Jews or Gentiles in the sense that we are all human. We all, by nature, are conceived and born in sin. And again, to be under sin is to be guilty before God and subject to his wrath. But now here, Paul says this, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Now, Paul used this language previously in chapter 2 at verse 12 when he says this, all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And at the same time, all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Now, you see this? That those who've sinned without the law will still perish because of sin, but they'll perish without the law. But those who have the law and they sin, well, under the law, they will be judged because the law brings the knowledge of sin. It reveals the sin, but it does not remove it. Now, let's look at this distinction. So on the one hand, you have those who sin without the law. That would be the Gentiles, those who do not have the law. They do not have the light of God's word. They do not have the truth of God's word. They walk around in the darkness and in the deception of the devil. And so, therefore, they are without the law. But yet, when they sin, they're going to still perish without the law. On the other hand, you have the Jews who do have the law, but yet, when they sin, they're going to be judged by the law because they are under the law. But now look at this word perish. This is precisely why Christ was sent. I mean, this is the language that John will use in his gospel in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, that's John 3:16. Now, here we have this distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews have the law, the Gentiles do not. Therefore, when the Gentile sins, the Gentile will perish without the law. But when the Jew sins, he will be judged by the law because he's under the law. Now recall what Paul is saying in chapter 3 of Romans. He says that we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law for this purpose, that every mouth may be stopped, that the whole world may be held accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. In a very similar way, Paul speaks to the baptized in Galatia chapter 2, saying that we ourselves are Jews by birth and we are not Gentile sinners. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, what he means is the Jews have the word of God. They have the revealed will of God as it is summarized in the Ten Commandments, the eternal will of God. They know what is pleasing in God's sight. The Gentiles, they go around and they just do what is pleasing in their sight. They don't have that light and the truth. They live in darkness and in deception. But Paul goes on to say in Galatians chapter 2 at verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but rather through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Now take note how Paul is arguing here. The law brings the knowledge of sin. Thus, even external outward changes in behavior does not change the heart. The condition of the heart by nature is one that is corrupted, that does not want to do God's will, that is corrupted spiritually, intellectually, and morally, that's made manifest in external actions, deeds done in the ways of the world. Now, going back to Romans chapter 3, at verse 19 again, Paul says, "We know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. For this purpose, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Now, it's at this point that Paul is alluding to Psalm 143. Now, David writes as one who has been entrusted with the law. He has the instruction, the Torah of Moses, the written word of God revealing the will of God. And as one who has the law, David prays, and he teaches us to pray in this way: "Hear my prayer, O Yahweh. Give ear to my pleas for mercy." Now notice that. That's how the psalm begins, that we are taught to plea for mercy. Why? Because the law brings the knowledge of sin. So pause with me for a moment here and understand that David has the law, but yet David is going to say, "Have mercy on me." And when he draws before God, he doesn't say, "God, look at how good I am." He doesn't say, "Look at how righteous I am. Look at all my external deeds." For he knows that God judges the heart. And of course, God judges the external deeds. And David, like all of us, is a fallen human being. So thus, David draws before God's presence, before God's face of grace, and he says this: "In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, answer me." Now notice that he's drawing before God's presence based upon the promise of God, that God is faithful to his promise. He will do what he says. He will do what he is. God is mercy, and he will act merciful. It is for this reason that the Father sent forth the Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this is the righteousness of Yahweh that David is approaching before God with, in the righteousness of Jesus, the righteous one. Remember, he is Yahweh's salvation. He's the one who will save us from our sins. So David draws before the presence of God based upon God's faithfulness and God's righteousness. And then he says this in Psalm 143, verse 2, "Enter not into judgment with your servant, because no one living is righteous before you." You get this? No one is justified before you. No one is justified by their works. No one is justified by the works of the law. None, not one, no one is righteous in God's sight. This is what David is teaching us. And this is precisely what Paul is teaching us when he splices together the whole litany of the Psalms, that no one understands, no one seeks God, no one does good. Why? Because of our sinful condition by nature. We're all part of fallen humanity. We have been conceived and born in the image and likeness of Adam, the rebel. And this is seen in both external wicked works, which we can see, but God judges the heart, so it's also in the inner iniquities, our thoughts, before we ever even act, what our inclination is before we ever even speak. This is the condition of humanity. So not even the Jews who knew the law can stand before God and say, "Look at how righteous I am by what I have done." For God judges the heart. Therefore, the whole world, both Jews with the word and the Gentiles without the word, are held accountable before God. None are righteous in God's sight by their own works. Now understand that this is being held accountable before God, in God's sight. It's not an external works that we can see with our own eyes. I mean, even if it looks like it's good from our perspective and our vantage point, the issue is the divine judgment being brought before the divine tribunal. That God does not judge like humanity. God tests the heart. And by nature, we are all under sin. By nature, we are all guilty before God. By nature, we are all subject to His wrath. And this is why Paul will write and say, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Again, remember what Paul said in chapter 2, all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And on the other hand, all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Therefore, all humanity is to be held accountable, the whole world. And notice that every mouth is to be stopped. Now, this is a quotation from Psalm 63, verse 11. This says, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Remember what Paul said? By nature, we are all liars. Now recall with me what Psalm 116 says. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. And then Paul comments in the same chapter, chapter 3, back at verse 4, let God be true, though everyone were a liar. And as we have said before, the Gentiles don't have the word of God. They do not have the word of truth. They are darkened by the deception and lies of the devil. They are sons of disobedience. But yet, by nature, that's what we all are. Even if we have the word of God, we are still in this state of fallenness, fallen into sin ever since Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God. And that's why Paul will say, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth, that would be both those who have the word of God upon their lips and those who do not have the word of God upon their lips, that every mouth would be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God, that we would all understand, just like Psalm 116 says, all mankind are liars. And as Psalm 63 says, the mouth of liars will be stopped. Now, before we move on, we want to understand this phrase of being under the law. Again, the Jews have the law, therefore, when you have the law, you will be judged by the law when you sin. The law brings the knowledge of sin. Now, what does it mean to be under the law? Well, to be under the law means to be under the accusation and condemnation of the law, that the law comes to correct the corrupted heart. But when the law enters in, it sets up God as judge. And when God judges, He judges according to the law. And therefore, the conscience becomes guilty before God, accused of being a sinner. Okay, now what do we mean by this accusation? Well, look at what James says in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10 of the letter of James says this, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of the law. I mean, you get this? This is the condemnation of the law. This is the curse of the law that Paul will talk about in Galatians 3. That if you fail in one point, you become guilty of not satisfying the entire law, of breaking in transgressing all of the law, the whole law. So if you fail in one point, you're guilty of failing everywhere, the entire law. Therefore, you stand condemned before God. Now, here's the problem, is that by nature we have a corrupted heart. Our spiritual, moral, intellectual life is corrupted. We cannot by nature keep the law. No one is going to be righteous by the works of the law. The law will bring the knowledge of sin. Now, if you try to satisfy the demands of the law, you will fail. the law does not grade on a curve. So you can't say, well, at least I've got 51% of the commandments down, or I've got a 65%, that's passing, right? A C is average, I'm at about a 78, or I'm a 95%, hey, that's pretty good. Look at how righteous I am. The problem is that either you are righteous in God's sight or you are not. By nature, we are not. We cannot be righteous in God's sight by our own efforts. No one will be righteous by the works of the law. No one will be justified by the works of the law. This is the curse of the law. Being under the law is to be under this curse. To be under the law and to be under the curse is to be under the accusations that you are guilty. If you failed in one point, you have broken and transgressed the entire law. You see, there's no curve on this grade. You can't say, well, at least I got a 70%. I'm average. I've got a C. You either have a zero or a 100%. It's either all or nothing. And the problem is that by nature, we are at a zero, a nothing. We cannot satisfy the demands of the law. It is impossible for us to keep the law. Since the fall into sin, our hearts are corrupted spiritually, morally, intellectually. We've got a problem. We cannot keep the law. And cursed is anyone who cannot keep the law. And this is why Paul will say to the baptized, in Galatians chapter 3, saying this, all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. You get this? To be under the law is to be placed under the curse. And what's the curse? Well, Paul will explain this. It is written. Now, here's where Paul is going to take us to Deuteronomy chapter 27. You guessed it, the law of God, the Torah, the instruction of God, the words of Moses written down for posterity's sake, that the Jews have the Torah of Moses, the instruction of Yahweh. Well, what's written in the instruction of Yahweh in Deuteronomy 27? Well, this, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now, that's the curse. Now, to be under the law is to be under this curse. If you don't do everything, then you have done nothing. I mean, you get this? This isn't a grading on a curve. It's either a 0% or 100%. And if you've transgressed in one point, you get a zero. There is no curve. And the problem that we have is by nature, with a corrupted heart, we cannot keep the law. We cannot satisfy the demands of the law. Now, this is why Paul will go on and say this. Well, therefore, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. You get this? Paul says, the Jews have the law, the Torah of Moses. The Gentiles don't. When the Gentiles sin, they're going to perish without the law because they don't have the law. When the Jews sin, they're going to be judged by the law. They are under the law. The curse comes. And cursed is everyone who does not abide by everything written in the book of the law. And this is the reason that Paul says, the righteous shall live by faith. He goes to Habakkuk 2 at this place. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. You get this? Now, Paul again is quoting from the law, the Torah of God, the instruction of Yahweh written down by Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul is going back to Leviticus chapter 18, where Yahweh clearly says that you shall keep my statutes and my rules. And if a person does them, he shall live by them. I am Yahweh. Now, of course, the next chapter, in chapter 19 of Leviticus, this is where Yahweh says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you should reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you inquire sin because of him. And then in the very next verse, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Now, going back to what Paul is doing here, Paul is citing from the law of God, the Torah, the instruction that Moses has written down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Paul says that you're under a curse if you have broken any of the things written in the book of the law. I mean, this is what Moses says in Deuteronomy 27, as we've already covered. And that's why Paul goes on and says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And once again, Paul will go back to the written word, the Torah, the law of God, the instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 21, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Now, Paul explains this to us, that we cannot keep the law. We, because of our sinful condition by nature, being fallen in a fallen creation, being part of fallen humanity, we have hearts that have been corrupted by sin. It is impossible for us to keep the law. Now remember, those who sin without the law will perish without the law. But those who sin with the law will be judged by the law because they are under the law. To be under the law is to be under the curse. But Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law, to free us from the condemnation of the law. And this is why Paul says that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now remember, we're talking about the law of God, the written word, the Torah that Moses writes and gives to us. Prior to that, Abraham had the promise of God, the promise that he would be a blessing to all nations, that in him, the seed that would crush the serpent's head and release us from our sin. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. Both Jews and Greeks are under sin. And then that's when he quotes from Psalm 14. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. So by nature, we are all under sin. Then again, to be under sin is to be guilty before God and subject to his wrath. Now, to be under the law is to be under the accusation and condemnation of the law. Remember, the law brings the knowledge of sin. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul will even say that the scripture imprisoned everything under sin for this purpose, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, to believe is to be converted by the Holy Spirit. The promise, the gospel comes to change our hearts from unbelief to belief, from unrepentance to repentance, that the Word of God turns the heart, changes the heart, converts the heart to faith in Christ. He is the righteousness of God. In fact, Christ is Yahweh, our righteousness, as the prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 23. And going back to Romans chapter 3, Paul says, now the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe, because there is no distinction, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood and to be received by faith.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.